Good morning. Good to see y'all today. Dan is not able to be with us. He is preaching a revival over in Longview. So let's be praying. I think it's Longview. Let's be praying for him and that that will be successful and that he'll be able to reach many because of it. You know, I got to looking at what to preach on today. Dan said, I can get you a lesson. I said, well, let me just come up with something. I don't want to take a lesson that he can do so good and get up here as a substitute. But I thought, you know, I've never heard a lesson on gambling. And I've never heard one on obesity either, I guess. But, you know, as far as that goes. But I thought, I'm going to do one on gambling this morning. And it was really amazing. Well, obesity might affect me, you know. So it's amazing how many people gamble. You know, last year, it was reported that over $66.5 billion was spent on gambling. Billion. You know, we hear the word trillion with our deficit, but billions, that's a big number. So I researched it because I don't think we really know how much a billion is. Did you know it was less than 64 billion days ago when Jesus was born? As a matter of fact, it was less than 64 billion hours ago. It was less than 64 billion minutes ago. No, it was less than 64 billion seconds ago when Jesus was born. That's how big a billion is. $66.5 billion last year spent on gambling. One in five Americans admit that they spent over $1,000 gambling last year. And studies have found that over 23 million Americans are in debt due to gambling. So needless to say, gambling is a big racket. I guess in reality, it's the biggest racket in the world, probably. Because statistics say that there are 23 million who are habitual gamblers. But if the truth was told, I think that every single one of us gamble from time to time in one way or another. In just a minute, we're going to be reading from the book of Acts, chapter 24. If you'd like to turn there, we'll start with verse 22. And what we have here, Paul has been sent to Caesarea to be put on trial with Governor Felix. And while he's defending himself against false charges that have been brought before the governor, Paul explains to him, he said, look, I'm here because of my teaching concerning the resurrection of the dead. And as we pick up in Acts 24, verse 22, we read, then Felix, who was well accustomed with the way, he was well accustomed with the Christian movement, he adjourned the proceedings. And Felix said, when Lysias, the commander, comes, I will decide your case. And he ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give some freedom to permit his friends to take care of his needs. And several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul, and he listened to him as he spoke about faith in Jesus Christ. And as Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was very afraid, and he said, that's enough for now. You can leave. And when I find a more convenient time, I will send for you. You see, we see here Felix was gambling. He was gambling that there would be more time to become a Christian. You know, I think gambling is probably one of the biggest tools in Satan's arsenal that's used by people. The word gamble means to play games of chance for money or other high stakes. And gambling is as high stakes as it can get when we're willing to gamble our soul against something. Verse 25 tells us when Paul explained righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come to Felix, he told Felix, go away. He wasn't ready to do what it took. Go away. I don't want to hear this. He gambled and told Paul he'd wait for a more convenient time. And you know, we never read in the Bible anywhere where Felix ever became a Christian, where he ever had that convenient time. Felix was like millions in our world today that gamble with their eternity. Gambling with our eternity is something that Satan wants us to do. That's what he wants. It's not what God wants. And those who gamble with their eternity are making the highest stakes gamble that can be made. Why would a person gamble eternity on whether you'll spend it in heaven or hell? That's too much. That's too much to gamble. Our eternity is something we should never gamble away. But Satan wants us to gamble so we can lose our soul to him. But the stakes are much too high. Now I want to look at a few ways that people do gamble. I guess Marty's changing this. I was ready to change it now. How long has it been changed? Wow. I've got this thing, Marty. I might not can use it, but we gamble whether or not God will forgive us when we repeatedly place other things above him. You know, we're given instructions in Hebrews 10:22 that say we need to draw near to God with a sincere heart. You know, worship is where we draw near to God. Right here. We're not drawing near to God if we skip worship, if we don't come. Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with you. If we choose not to be here with him, then we're gambling on it. When we place something else ahead of that, we're gambling with God that he is okay with that. I can promise you it is never okay with God for us to put anything else ahead of him. When we look on down into verse 24 and 25 there in Hebrews 10, we see, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. You know, we all have different talents. We're not all able to do the same things. But one thing each and every one of us can do is encourage one another. We can all do that. We can be faithful about attending worship. That encourages others. When we skip out, it's a gamble. And it's a dangerous gamble to choose other things over God. Another thing, when we gamble that God will forgive us when we intentionally do things that we know are against the will of God. Many people have the mindset, and there's a teaching out there, well, God loves us. He'll forgive you. Doesn't matter. God's love. God is love. But the Bible doesn't tell us he just forgives us for everything. Hebrews 10:26-27 says, if we go on sinning intentionally after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there's no sacrifice for sins left, but only the terrifying expectation of judgment and of fury fire that will consume the enemies of God. In Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? We're gambling when we don't. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You know, many people think they'll go to heaven just for calling on his name. But that's not what he says here. This is Jesus talking. Only those who do the will of my Father. He goes on to say in verse 22 and 23, many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? But Jesus said, I'll tell you, depart from me. I never knew you. We're evildoers when we put earthly things ahead of God. And it's a gamble that we never need to take. But we also gamble when we use our talents, but not for God. You know, Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's handiwork who were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, many times we use our talents on our jobs, but we draw the line when it comes to using those talents for God. We may use our good health to go fishing, hunting, working. Some people just love to work. We might use our health to do all that, but we fail to show up when there are things that need to be done for other Christians. In 1 Peter 4 and 10, the Bible tells us, each of you should use whatever gift you have to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. When we don't use our abilities to help others, to help the church, then we're gambling that God will overlook these sins of omission. Matthew 7, 17 through 20, Jesus said, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. We all know this. Then he says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. So I'm asking you this morning, are you bearing fruit for God? Are you bearing good fruit? It says every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown in the fire. If not, then that is a gamble that you will not win. It's a gamble you do not want to take. When we gamble on what it takes to become a Christian, we're taking a gamble we should never, never take. You know, our eternity is much too important for, do I have to do that to become a Christian? Do I have to do something the Bible tells me to do? You know, I've got friends that I've tried to talk to. Well, yeah, but I don't think you have to do that. Our eternity is much too important for that. All Christian denominations agree that we must believe in Jesus in order to be saved. If they're not a Christian denomination, if they don't. They believe that because the Bible tells us that. You have to repent to be saved. They believe that. The Bible tells us that. But the Bible also says we must be baptized. In Matthew 28, 19 through 20, Jesus told, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's what he said. Jesus said it. It's in the Bible, just like repentance and belief. Jesus, he told the apostles in Mark 16, 15 and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's from the Bible. You know, for years I've heard people say, oh, we've got to obey the gospel. They're right. Jesus said, preach the gospel to all creation. What is the gospel? A lot of people, oh, that's the good news. What is the good news? Well, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Now, I want to make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preach to you. I want to make it known to you. I'm going to tell you what it is, which you've received, in which you stand, by which you are saved. The gospel, you are saved by it, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you. If not, you believed in vain. For what is it? Here it is. For what I delivered to you is the first importance, is what I received. The first importance. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. There's your gospel. That's what it tells us. I'm telling you the gospel. But how do we obey it? We'll turn over to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Oh, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the gospel. Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, from the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We walk as Christians after we obey the gospel. That's part of it. Not to think so is a gamble. A gamble that will send us to hell. 1 Peter 3:21 tells us that baptism saves us. Matter of fact, I got to looking up baptism, and it's everywhere. It's found over 20 times in the New Testament. The verb form of it, baptize, is found 10 times. And the act of being baptized is found 51 times. That's not in there that many times because it doesn't mean anything. It's mentioned that much because it's important. And if we decide we don't have to do something the Bible tells us to do, like believing or repenting or being baptized or living faithfully, then we're gambling with eternity. I don't know how can people gamble on this when the Bible tells us we must do these things to be saved. Baptism, one of them. That's a gamble we don't need to take. And that brings us to our last point. We're gambling with our eternity when we gamble with waiting another day to become a Christian. Like Felix. You know, I know I'm not very smart, but I know two things are going to happen to me. I'm going to die, and I am going to face the judgment. That's 100% for all of us. We're going to have those happen. And the majority of people are gambling that they're not going to die until they have another day to become a Christian. But you know, God doesn't say that we have another day and another day and another day. What if you died right now? What would happen? What if you don't have that other day? Because there's no second chance. Once we're gone, it's the judgment. There's two things. Death and the judgment. What if Jesus were to come back before we left here today? What if something happened on the way home? A car accident. Why gamble? Too many people gamble with their eternity so much that they get to where they just gamble another day and then another day. They say no to God so many times to where it just doesn't matter anymore. They get addicted to gambling. You know, as Paul talked to the Corinthians, he tried to get them to make a decision to turn to Christ. And I'm asking you to do the same thing today. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't done all that Jesus said. In 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 2, we read where Paul wrote, "As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain." That's what's happening if you're gambling. Paul said, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, quote, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Gambling is a game of chance. You may not ever have another chance. You may be like Felix and gamble away your eternity by waiting. Do you believe in Jesus? In John 6:47, Jesus Christ said, "The one who believes has eternal life." Have you repented of your sins? In Luke 5:32, Jesus said, "I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And in Luke 13:3, he said, "I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Has to be done. Have you confessed Jesus as your Savior? Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will also disown before my Father in heaven." Have you been baptized? That's part of it. You're gambling if you think you don't have to be. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is talking to people who saw Jesus Christ live. They saw him crucified. They saw him put in a tomb. They saw him walk upon this earth after he was resurrected. And in Acts chapter 2, they asked, "What must we do to be saved?" They believed, really believed. "What must we do to be saved?" And he told them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." It's important. Don't gamble with it. And if so, are you living in a way where he'll dwell in you? In John 15:5-6, Jesus said, "If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you don't remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away, withers, and such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned." Our eternity is much too important to gamble away by playing the odds. Satan wants you to take those odds. Satan wants you to gamble. but God wants you to come to Him. Why not decide right now to stop gambling with your eternity and come to Christ as we stand and sing?